Welcome to Trivial Warfare. My name is Jonathan Oakes. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Hollister. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris. How you doing today, Jonathan?
Oh, well, you finally got it right this time.
Yeah, you know.
I'm proud of you.
It takes time, but...
So, we're here. This is our second attempt at a first try?
That's correct.
All right. So, we have recorded a couple of episodes. We weren't very happy with them, so we're trying again. This is our game. We have 10 questions. They will be of varying levels of difficulty. We will be alternating turns. And
terms.
We'll be alternating terms, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a president.
Terms of endearment.
Like Grover
Still
Cleveland,
like that.
As
yes,
a matter
exactly.
of fact. And so we'll be switching back and forth, and whoever gets the most questions right gets the most points and wins the game. The final question, you can wager any or all of your points, and we'll see who comes out on top at the end of the day.
Sounds like a plan to me. You ready to get this thing rolling?
All right, let's get going.
Okay.
Do you want to start? Actually, you know what? Let's do a disclaimer first.
Absolutely.
So before we start, I'd like to say that almost all of my questions were pulled directly from the book Pub Quiz, published by Arcturus Publishing Limited. I highly recommend this book for all trivia lovers. It's a good read. It's full of questions and answers. And so I might have reworded a couple of them a little bit or done a couple of originals, but most of these are straight out of the book.
Okay, and then as for me, I'm using the book Mental Floss Trivia, and it's by Puzzle Right Press out of New York. And this has been a really fun book. It has a lot of really fun questions as well as difficult questions, and this is great to be able to bring to friends' houses and be able to test out your friends. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to test a few out on you today.
Ooh, we will see how that goes.
All right. May the best Chris win.
I'm screwed. Okay. All right. Am I asking first or are you asking first?
I'll be more than happy to ask first, sir.
All right. Go for it.
Okay.
So this first question will be worth what? 10 points?
This is worth 10 points.
10 points.
And we're going into science.
Science!
What poisonous spider can be identified by a small red hourglass shape marking on the underside of its abdomen?
I think the answer is a black widow.
That would be absolutely correct.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to go camping in the Appalachian Mountains, and we were roughing it, you know, we had tents. And there's a black widow that had been building a web in between the tent and the tent pole, or the string that was coming off of the tent, for about 2 days. And I had been very careful not to walk near this black widow. We'd never gotten rid of it, but it was just kind of chilling out.
Okay, you guys can't see me, but I have bug eyes right now going, what?
Arachnid eyes, perhaps? So anyway, my brother and I were running around, and he was chasing me, and I forgot the bug was there, and I decided, he's taller than I am. If I duck under this tent pole, it might smack him in the face, and I'll get away, and great, right? As soon as I hit the web... I started screaming and smacking my face and smacking my head and just trying to kill this black widow spider that I didn't see on the web when I ran into it, but I just knew it must have been there. We never found the spider.
Wow.
But it scared the mess out of me.
Just simply wow. Scarlett Johansson would be impressed by that story.
I wish that was Scarlett Johansson in that web, let me tell you. All right, so your question.
Okay.
It's a general knowledge question.
It's 10 to nothing, by the way. Jonathan's up.
All right. General knowledge. In the five-ringed symbol of the Olympic Games, what color is the central ring?
Okay, that's a great question. First, I love Olympic questions, Jonathan, so that's just outstanding. I appreciate that. Second one, man, that's a tougher question than one would think. And I believe it is green.
Green?
Is yes.
that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
That is incorrect.
I figured as such.
It is black.
I was going to say yellow, so okay.
No, black it's was, black, yeah. So.
Black was like my fourth choice, so.
So the real order is blue, yellow, black, green, red.
Okay.
And the blue...
I was off by one.
The blue, the black, and the red are on the top, and the yellow and green are on the bottom.
Okay, very good. So now we're going into advertising. In 1978, what Kimberly-Clark product was advertised... as having a snug, elastic fit, and an hourglass shape.
A snug, elastic fit, and an hourglass shape.
That's correct. And I'm looking more for the product, not the product name, but what the thing actually is, because I think the product name would just be too ridiculously hard for you to figure out all of them. Does that make sense?
It does. Okay. I'm trying to figure out what might have an hourglass shape, and I can't... Kimberly Clark, you know, I kind of lean towards feminine hygiene products. And I'm not thinking that's going to be the right answer. I don't know. I give up.
Okay. Actually, you're awfully close, and you're very familiar with this. Huggies diapers.
Oh, no. Oh, I feel so dumb. It could be a feminine hygiene product, yes, come to think of it. Yeah, right? For the little girls.
Not for your household,
no,
but...
Well, no. No, no. American history / science.
Science!
Category. Which American physicist was put in charge of the development of the atom bomb at Los Alamos in 1943?
That would be Robert Oppenheimer.
Close enough.
Okay.
Robert's his middle name.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, J. Robert Oppenheimer.
No kidding. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, because I call him Bob personally.
You guys are good friends?
And well, you know, he's been dead for about the whole course of my life. But yes, absolutely, we're friends.
I thought the guy by the name Oppenheimer, I never knew he was an American. So I got it right because there's only one guy it could be. But I really didn't know he was American, so I tried for 20 minutes to think of a different person when I read that the first time.
Well, and you know, a lot of people, I think, would also maybe choose Einstein as well.
Another German, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
And remember what Germans love, David Hasselhoff.
You're right. They do. And sausage.
And
which
sausage.
Not necessarily... Never mind. Let's not go there.
Yeah. Let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. Here we go now. This is movies. When Dorothy is held captive in the 1939 film, The Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West threatens her with death after an hourglass full of sand runs out of time. What color was the sand in the hourglass?
So the Wicked Witch was green. Sand is usually yellow, maybe gold. I'm going to go with green.
What was the color of Dorothy's shoes?
Red.
Red.
Actually, depending on if book or movie.
That's very true.
The book was silver, right?
That's correct. Well done.
Yeah, well, I didn't get the question right, so not that well done.
That's a fair point. And actually, the book was a really good read, as a matter of fact.
Yeah?
So, yeah, I liked it.
I'm trying to read Wicked right now, and I'm not getting very far. It's kind of hard to get rolling on.
Yeah, I was told it was a good book, but I still want to see the musical instead.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so what? I've had three questions and only got one right.
That's correct.
Here's your third question.
Okay. 10 to 10, by the way.
War movies.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Which 1999 World War II movie set in the Pacific featured Sean Penn, George Clooney, Nick Nolte, and Woody Harrelson?
I believe the movie is The Thin Red Line.
You're correct.
Yeah.
So... What's funny is there's a lot of people in this movie, right? I'd heard of it, but I never paid attention
to it. If you played Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon, this is one of those great movies.
Oh, is he in there?
No, he's not, but it's like one of those...
A connector movie.
Exactly right, yeah.
I gotcha. So let me tell you who else. A couple of other people who are in this. Jim Caviezel.
Oh, wow.
John Cusack.
Okay.
Jared Leto. John C. Reilly. John Travolta.
Jared Leto was in that?
Yeah, right. This is like right after My So-Called Life.
I was going to
say. This is 99.
Was he like 10? My gosh.
So I checked. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 76%.
Okay.
So it wasn't a great movie, but it was must have been pretty good.
Yeah, I remember it being kind of eh, but I'm not really a big...
79%. Sorry, I got that wrong.
I'm not really a big, big war movie. I mean...
You're not a big war movie?
Yeah. War movie guy.
Okay. I knew you weren't a big war movie.
Your sarcasm is noted. We're going into the realm of TV for you and your fourth question.
Okay.
The score so far is 20 to 10.
Is it?
I believe so. Going into your fourth question.
Okay.
Television. What does the T stand for in the name of television shows Star Trek's Captain James T. Kirk?
Oh, boy. He was from Iowa. Does that help? Does it count? No?
Sure, I'll give you 0 points for that.
Oh, thanks.
Not a problem.
I think it's Tiberius.
Correct,
sir. Oh, you didn't think I was going to get that, did you?
When you paused, I was like, man, maybe I made that question too hard. Or not made it, but maybe I thought found the wrong question.
No. Tiberius, that's a good one.
Well done, man.
I've watched quite a bit of Star Trek when I was younger, actually, most of the original stuff.
Okay.
All right. Your fourth question is a science and technology question.
Science!
Again, yeah, we get a lot of science so far, but I think this is your last science one.
Thank God.
What name is given to a device that enables computers to send and receive information via telephone?
Why does this just feel like one of those trapped questions? Like, because I'm gonna.
It's a trap.
Yeah. Thank you, Akbar. I'm going to say a modem, but I've just got this fear that it's the wrong answer.
Well, it's actually the right answer.
Oh, nice.
That's
okay.
A modem. Yeah, exactly.
Hoopa. All right.
Remember the old, like, the 56K modem that you would log?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was terrible. And we just put everybody through it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, on YouTube, you can actually type in AOL, and it'll give you the modem sound boot up and everything, and then give you the, you've got mail.
You're kidding.
No, I am not.
That's amazing.
Which also proves that you can find anything on YouTube. We're going to move on, and we're going to do discovery for you. Discovery.
All right. So right now I have 20 and you have 30.
That's correct. For your fifth question.
Discovery.
Captain James Cook discovered what country in 1769 and claimed it for Great Britain?
So you jumped from James Kirk to James Cook?
I know. I just noticed that.
Okay. James Cook. And you said what year?
1769.
1769. 69,
dude.
James Cook. I'm pretty good with explorers, somewhat, which is kind of like, not really. I feel like this was in the Caribbean. Cook. I'm going to go with Bermuda.
Okay. That's incorrect, but I'm going to give you a second chance for 5-point question.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to rephrase it a little bit.
Alrighty.
All right. This island set discovered by James Cook was also the background for the three movies for The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, it's New Zealand.
That's correct for 5 points.
He discovered New Zealand?
He discovered New Zealand.
You would have thought the Australians would have noticed it first.
A.
That's Canadians.
Oh, well. Sorry, Newfoundland. Anyway.
Newfoundland?
Anyway.
Okay, so I got 5 for that?
Yes, you get 5 points for that.
What does that give me? 25?
25.
25?
So 30 to 25.
Okay. Your next question is about mythology.
Ooh,
question number 5.
This is your, like, wheelhouse.
In Norse mythology, from what was the Bifrost Bridge formed as a mean to reach heaven from Earth?
From what it was formed? Is that your question?
What was the Bifrost Bridge made of?
Okay, if you go after the mighty Thor in Marvel Comics, it's the Rainbow Bridge, so I'm going to say rainbows.
It was formed from a rainbow.
Nice.
Hey, you got it.
And who says comic books are not helpful?
You know what? You know what's funny? I realized as I was going through that question that I'm pretty good with mythology, but everything I know about Norse mythology,
is the comes
from Thor. It comes from comic books and movies related to Thor.
That's hilarious.
That's it.
Okay, going on to the next one, astronomy.
Oh,
yeah,
astronomy.
Trying to mix it up on you a little bit.
Like this. Okay.
Okay. What constellation is represented by the whale?
The whale. It's not one of the zodiac constellations, because I know all of those. I have no idea.
All right. Cetus.
Never even heard of it.
Cetus. Cetus.
Okay. Moving on. Question 6 for you, my friend.
6.
It's a sports question.
Sports.
Whom did Mike Tyson defeat in 1987 to become undisputed heavyweight boxing champion? The questions got a little harder for both of us this round, didn't they?
I'm going to give a bad answer.
Okay.
Or at least I think it's a bad answer. You'll tell me in a moment if it's not, but I'm going to say Thomas Hearns.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
The guy's name is Tony Tucker. And I'm going to tell you a little story as to why I asked, because it's such a good story. I couldn't pass up on it.
All right, I'm kind of intrigued by this.
Okay,
Go on, please.
Tony Tucker. In 1987, HBO and Don King put together a set of bouts to unify the different heavyweight titles. Kind of like a wrestling tournament, right?
Right.
The first match was to be between IBF champion Michael Spinks and Tucker. Spinks refused to fight because he wasn't going to get paid enough and went and fought a different fighter for more money and was stripped of the title as a result. The title was put up for grabs between the number one and two contenders, Tucker and Buster Douglas.
Wow.
Tucker won in the 10th round by TKO and went on to fight WBC champ Mike Tyson in a unification bout. Obviously, Tucker lost the match by unanimous decision, and ended up with the record for the shortest title reign in boxing history.
That's unbelievable.
How about... I had no idea that Buster Douglas was anywhere near like a number one or number two contender at that point in his career. I remember when he fought Tyson and beat him that I thought he was a nobody. I'd never even heard of him before. So that was, it really kind of was like, that was interesting for me.
Yeah, very much so. I like that question a lot, even though I got it wrong.
We can't all be right. And so far, we haven't been right very much.
That's very true. Okay, now we're going into animals.
Question seven about animals.
Animals!
Animals it is. Animals.
Okay. We're going to go back to whales, but this time...
Oh, okay.
A young whale is properly known as, by what name?
Bill.
Well, wow, that is such a bad joke.
If they named him Bill, then he would go by that name.
Headley.
So, no, he's a calf.
That
his
is
mom's
correct.
A cow.
Absolutely, that
there
is correct. Yes.
Now, she doesn't want me to call her a cow.
I was
going to
say, that's not very nice.
It's kind of mean.
That's very mean.
No, but he's definitely a calf. Your seventh question is a literature question. Who created the fictional detective Hercule Poirot? And I think he's French, so I'm going to say Hercule Poirot.
Honestly, I love this question for a number of reasons. First off, it's my aunt's favorite book series.
Oh.
Aunt Sandy's favorite book series, period.
And Aunt Sandy making an appearance in the first podcast.
Well, the third time around, first podcast. And that is Agatha Christie.
You got it right.
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, check this out. I did not know this. According to her Wikipedia page, the Guinness Book of World Records lists Christie as the best-selling novelist of all time.
No kidding.
That's what I thought. I thought, really?
I
tried to verify it.
Grisham, stuff like that,
took about 5 minutes out of my day to go see if I could prove that. I couldn't find that anywhere, but that was on her Wikipedia page. So there you go.
Well, and if it's on Wikipedia, it has to be true.
It's on the internet, right?
Well, everything on the internet's true.
Almost.
All right, you ready for question eight?
By the way, the internet says that I am tall, dark, and handsome.
Well, they got two out of the three right. I'll let you decide what the two out of the three are.
Well, I'm not short.
Depends on who you're talking to.
All right, so...
Dikembe Mutombo, you're short. Anyway. Food.
Food. Question eight, food.
Shrimp on the Barbie is a seafood dish with origins in what country?
I think we ought to put another shrimp on the Barbie. That's terrible, isn't it?
That really is.
God, that's so
I don't
bad.
Know. Are you trying to do Bad News Barrett from like the WWE?
I was going for Paul Hogan because it's the answer is Australia.
That is absolutely correct.
All right.
Oh I
my
just
God,
loved
that was terrible.
I know, but that was my hope for asking you this question.
Oh, really?
That you would try to do an awful Australian accent.
Oh, God.
So. You're welcome, America.
So out of eight questions, how many do I have right so far?
So you have three and a half right. You're at 35.
Okay. Your eighth question is a music question.
Okay.
Which group released the album Toys in the Attic in 1975?
That would be Love in an Elevator, Aerosmith.
Well, no.
No.
It would be Aerosmith, so yeah, you're going to get it right.
Yes.
Not the...
I know. 11 and Elevator was
and
much
elevator.
Later on. But I was trying to figure out a cool song and just botched it completely.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
So, Steven Tyler, I apologize.
But hey, you did get it right. Well done. 60 to 35.
All right. Now, history.
Now, history.
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 For question number nine.
Okay.
History.
Jinx,
did I mention
it?
Three Mile Island, a nuclear reactor that suffered a core meltdown in 1979, is located in what U.S. state?
Oh, crap. You know, in my childhood head, Three Mile Island must have been related to Rhode Island because they both had the word island in them. But something tells me that it's not actually Rhode Island. Three Mile Island, I know it's northeast. Well, it must be on the water. It's an island. I don't think I'm going to get it right, but I'm going to go with Connecticut.
You're very, very close. Pennsylvania.
Really?
Really, really.
Man, they barely have any coastline at all.
I know.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, Pennsylvania. Woo. You could have given me seven or eight guesses, and I wasn't getting that one. All right, your ninth question, poetry.
Oh, goody.
Oh, yeah. How many lines are there in a limerick?
Three.
That is incorrect, sir. It's five.
I thought it was 579.
No, that's a haiku. So I'm going to give you an example of a limerick. I went and found a fun one for me. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. There once was a maid from Madras who had a magnificent ass. not rounded and pink as you'd possibly think. It was gray, had long ears, and ate grass.
Well played.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, there once was a man from Nantucket. That's a limerick.
Okay. Your question 10.
Okay.
Before we go into the dreaded final question.
Mm.
You have 35 points still.
Okay.
All right. And this is advertising.
Advertising.
Okay. An award-winning Got Milk commercial made millions aware of the name of the gentleman who fatally shot Alexander Hamilton in a duel. Name this former vice president.
It's with that guy who looks like Kevin Bacon, except like an uglier, smaller version of Kevin Bacon.
That's exactly how he wants to be remembered.
He gets the peanut butter stuck in his mouth, and his response to that famous question on the telephone, Aaron Burr.
That is absolutely correct.
Yes.
Aaron Burr.
All right, so that gives me 45, and you have 60 points, I believe.
Yes.
And this is your final question.
Okay.
Which branch of the United States military became a separate entity in September 1947?
That would be the Air Force.
Could I have more information, please? No, I'm just messing with you. You got it right.
I was going to say, how much more information can I give you?
You got it. It's the U.S. Air Force.
Yes, because it was originally part of the Army.
Is that what it was, the Army?
Yes.
Okay.
The only reason why I know that is just because that was the division that my grandfather flew in.
Hey, you know, my father was in the Air Force.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Didn't fly, though. He was a ground guy. Technical. He learned how to program from it.
Gotcha. Very good.
Okay. Going into the final question, Chris, you have 70 points.
That's correct. And you have 45 points.
Okay. So it's anybody's ball game.
That's right.
What we're going to do is we're going to share what category the next questions are going to come from. And we're both going to write down a wager. And then we will ask the questions and see how things fall out.
Sounds good. And Jonathan, your category is baseball history.
Ooh. Okay. Baseball history. I like baseball. Your category is going to be rock music.
Okay.
All right. I'm writing down my wager.
I'm writing down my wager. But he's doing it in secret.
That's correct.
Okay, we're going to make this baseball semi-history.
Okay. Baseball semi-history.
Yes.
Is that Jonathan, like a semi-sweet morsel?
Depends on how you answer the question. Can you name 4 out of the last 5 Cy Young Award winners for the American League, starting with 2014?
3 years ago, David Price won, so I got him.
Bing!
R.A. Dickey, with his knuckleball, did not win in the AL. He won for the Mets and got traded to the AL the next year. Max Scherzer did not. Who is the guy? Corey Kluber won this year. So Corey Kluber, David Price, Justin Verlander, and Max Scherzer. Those are my answers.
That is absolutely correct.
Nice.
Would you like to try to do them in order?
Well, it would have been Verlander, Price, Scherzer, Kluber.
That's correct. And in 2010?
Hold on, don't tell me. Let me know everything. Did Verlander win 2 in a row? No, I don't think I'm going to get 2,000. Oh, Felix Hernandez.
Correct. King Felix.
Hey, I got all 5.
Yes, you did.
Oh.
No extra credit.
Feeling strong there.
All right. Well done, sir.
Very good. Good question.
All right. What was the points that you got that you went on that?
I went 40 points.
Nice. All right.
So I just jumped into the lead.
So 85 to 70.
Well, actually.
Or 85 to 40. No, what did I mean? I don't even remember what I made.
It's 80 to 75. Oh, okay. No, I have 85.
70. Yes, 85
to 70.
Okay.
Well, that took a little bit of doing just to get the score, didn't it?
Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum.
You'll notice we're not asking each other math questions.
I was told that there'd be no math.
All right, I'm going to touch back on a question that I asked earlier. Remember I asked about Aerosmith and Toys in the Attic?
Love in the Elevator.
Well, yes, exactly. Aerosmith has released 15 studio albums.
Wow.
I want you to name 4 of them, not including Toys in the Attic.
Greatest Hits?
Does not count. Not a studio album.
I'm not the biggest Aerosmith fan. This was what stink. Thing is I can see album covers in my head. Okay. The first one is Pump.
Oh, with Janie's Got a Gun on
That's
it.
That's correct. And I remember it mostly because it has a big pickup truck in the front cover of
Good
it.
Good answer.
Second one is actually, very few times did they do songs as their album covers or album titles, but I believe Living on the Edge was one of their albums.
Okay. Gonna need that answer from you, Mr. Hollister.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just going to, I'm going to choke on this. So I'm going to say, the only ones I can come up with is Pump and Living on the Edge. And I don't even think Living on the Edge is right. So, and then I'm just going to have to say Greatest Hits and Greatest Hits Volume 2.
That does not count.
Okay. I realize that.
All right.
But
that's what you got. Okay.
That's what I got.
Want me to read them?
Yes, please. Humble me tremendously.
And or you'll remember these when you hear them.
Oh, I'm sure of it, because, again, I could see the album covers in my cranium.
Okay. In your brain pan?
Exactly. It's something in my butt.
In order. And this is where your first guess should have gone when you had a hard time. Self-titled. Aerosmith. 1973. 1974, Get Your Wings. 75 was Toys in the Attic. 1976 was Rocks. With the rocks on the cover and the words spelled out on them.
Yes.
In 1977, Draw the Line.
Okay.
In 1979, Night in the Ruts.
Yeah, no clue.
In 1982, Rock in a Hard Place.
I knew that one.
In 1985, Done with Mirrors.
No clue.
Now we hit the wheelhouse, right? In 1987, Permanent Vacation with Love in an Elevator. In 1989, Pump. 1993, the album with Living on the Edge was called Get a Grip.
Get her.
It was the one with the cow on the cover and the nipples on the CD. Nine Lives in 1997 with, I think they had Pink and Falling in Love's Hard on the Knees. They had Just Push Play, 2001. Honkin' on Bobo in 2004. And Music from Another Dimension in 2012.
Wow, I didn't even know they had an album in the last
either.
5 years.
Yeah, right. But so, I kind of thought you were going to get it. I thought you were going to nail Permanent Vacation, Pump, Get a Grip, and maybe Rocks or
And I'll be honest with you, it's a great question. I'm an iTunes guy now. I know individual songs. I really don't know albums as much as I did. So, my 25 points.
Oh! So, you finished the game with, what, 45 points?
45 points.
So, the final question put us 82-45.
Yes.
Jonathan with the win.
Winner, winner, chicken
Woo!
Dinner. Congratulations,
My
man.
My cat's coming over here to give me a high five. You see this?
High paw.
Give me a high paw, Rambo. All right. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you had a good time. If you have any questions, you want to send us questions, you want to talk with us, reach out to us. Our email address is trivialwarfare@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook right now. We'll be getting other social media stuff later, I'm sure. All right, Mr. Hollister, any last words before we sign off?
Great job with the questions this time around. I'll get you next week. And until then, it's Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war.
All right, bye-bye, folks.
Bye, everybody. Take your time, hurry up, choices just don't be late.
All right, stop.